This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear details of the new sustainable brewing program being launched by Western Michigan University and Kalamazoo Valley Community College. But first, a recent article in Vanity Fair examined how officials in Dallas reacted when a patient in their city was diagnosed with Ebola. At one point, the article describes the yawning gulf between facts and fears about Ebola. This week, a symposium about the Ebola outbreak is being held at Kalamazoo College. It's called Ebola in Perspective, Our Roles as Global Citizens. Joseph Bangara is a history professor, and he is the director of K College's Africana Studies program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
He is with us in studio, and we are also joined by Dr. Olaji Jai, who is a research fellow in pathobiological sciences at the School of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and a research scientist with the Global Product Safety and Regulatory Affairs Division of Procter & Gamble. He will be giving this keynote address at this week's symposium at K College, and Dr. Jai joins us from Madison by phone. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
So let's begin with that question that I think is right in the title there of your symposium. How do we consider our roles as global citizens when it comes to a disease like Ebola and an outbreak in the United States?
Yes, so Ebola is a very, very deadly virus. And of course, it struck West Africa very much so than, the previous outbreaks that have happened in Central and parts of East Africa. And the magnitude of it in West Africa was so high, and the geographic spread was also really, really high. And so it almost overwhelmed the systems in those places that, places like Sierra Leone, Liberia, and in Guinea that have gone through wars before, and that the healthcare system wasn't prepared in a ready situation. And also, there was a lot of, large populations and large centers. And so when Ebola struck in those areas, what it did also show was our global connectedness, because within a period of a couple months, we've seen the virus spreading to Nigeria, via someone moving from Liberia to Nigeria, and then a Liberian coming over to the U.S., and then we've seen the virus strike in places like Spain as far as, Scotland very recently. And that brings to mind the layers of our human connectedness from the human perspective, and then the virus in itself goes from animal to human, so that brings the animal to human connection. And then there is also the virus thrives in forested ecosystems, and so that also brings the aspect of our ecosystems into perspective. So there is a lot of things that come into the picture. And then one of the key drivers of the outbreak in the region was also the social dynamics, some of the social dynamics and some of the cultural dynamics. So when you talk about our roles as global citizens, it has to be understood that it is more than a virus. There are a lot of other dynamics that have to come into play, and where all of us as globally conscious citizens can be of, can play an effect. These are the response. Is economics. It requires a lot of resources. It requires funding more than what some of those regions might have. But also, we have to think about some of the social aspects of those regions too, and how do we as global citizens help in terms of alleviating issues like poverty, issues like the public health systems, issues like education, issues like some of the lack of capacity that needed to address some of this. So when we look at the global perspective around Ebola, you really have to move just from the virus itself and really think about what structures do we have to put in place that make sure that when we have events like this, we are able to better respond to them rather than react to the virus.
What you just mentioned there, though, that idea of how connected we are in this day and age. Travel overseas is much greater now than it was, say, 30, 40 years ago. Does that perhaps bring an element of self-preservation into the argument, as opposed to simply saying, well, yes, they're fellow human beings, and we should be concerned about them, even if they are in another country? Are those two things more in line now than they would have been, say, a few decades ago?
Very much so. They are so much more in line. And remember, you know, right now we are talking of Ebola, and we only know about 1% of the viruses that are out there. 99% of them we don't know. And we are highly connected. The lessons we are learning about Ebola at the moment, that Ebola can travel by road. You know, if you have a good road network, people move, you can have Ebola, like from Freetown, from the border regions where it started in the epicenter, like around Kailahun, around the Guinean borders of Masanta. You know, it quickly moved to the cities in Conakry. And we now know that we are connected. Somebody could be in Freetown today. Next moment, he is either in China or he is flying out of China to the U.S. And so we've seen such things happening. And so how do we connect our global systems? I think it is much more now of a responsibility that we have as global citizens that, you know, things that happen in one region, we are not really insulated or isolated from them, and that our actions also here affect actions out in those parts of the world.
Professor Bangura, looked like you wanted to jump in and say something there.
I think he has covered the key areas. As global citizens, as you said, the first instinctive reaction usually is self-preservation. But what the symposium is doing is that we are saying everyone should appreciate the reaction of self-preservation. But is that enough to contain an epidemic? Is that a solution to stopping an epidemic affecting the preserver? So we are saying that we think there are much more effective and productive ways of tackling the disease as global citizens. And backing on isolationist moves may not do it, you know, as some people were advocating here in the United States. We have realized that when we put all hands on deck, we try to confront the disease as a group, as a global community, then we are much more effective. The United States, as you mentioned in your question, has also done its own part in contributing to its role as a global citizen, in the sense that in Liberia, you know, they sent troops, and guess what? The epidemic is ebbing in Liberia. We want it to be resolved now, but it is better than where it was 8 months ago. And that's as a result of the cooperative attitude of other nations in the world. So the symposium will bring us together to discuss how effective some of these measures are, these countermeasures are toward the disease, how we could also be prepared to face or confront another epidemic that might inevitably ensue, and the lessons learned so far in terms of our reaction to this disease.
The news release for the symposium notes that the outbreak of the Ebola virus in West Africa reveals much about matters human and humane. And the first thing mentioned on that list is fear. Mm-hmm. How much does fear drive the response to something like Ebola? And does it lead to some things which are misguided?
Yeah, fear is a human tendency. It's not only the Americans that are afraid. The very West Africans affected by the disease are fearful, you know, because they see the deadly nature of the disease. So I don't think we should fault people for being afraid. It's all part of the concept of self-preservation. But the hard reality is you have to step back and just think whether, you know, by being afraid, by being overwhelmed with fear, if that's the solution to what you are afraid of, you know. But I think when you engage people in such conversations, then they see the logic of what to do. But I think it's unfair to criticize people for being afraid, because it's just natural. But beyond that, I think educating people about the nature of the disease and how it's contacted and how it's, you know, deadly helps in the sense that it creates a sense of awareness. And the sense of awareness eclipses the issue of fear, which is what should be the goal. You have a right to be afraid, but it is better for you to be educated about what you are afraid of, so that you can be prepared to confront what you are afraid of.
So just to wrap this up here, let me have both of you maybe weigh in on that issue of education. Is that the whole key going forward to having a level-headed, responsible, effective response to an outbreak? Education.
I would say that should be step number one. You know, the more, as I said, the more you are aware of something, the more you know how to approach it. But obviously, that's not nearly enough as the solution. You know, as Dr. Njai was saying, we have to have a series of systems in place. You know, we have to have structure that can handle these epidemics. You know, you have to have a monitoring system. You have to have a very strong health care infrastructure, which many of the African countries lack. So it's a combination of factors that will really, really help confront epidemics of this in the future. And same with HIV. When we had the epidemic of HIV, there were all sorts of conspiracy theories about HIV. And so people became affected in some ways because of their ignorance of the disease. If we had mounted, you know, a campaign on educating people how it's contracted and how it can be avoided, that will help. And so for me, I believe that is really key, studying the disease, studying its effects, and studying measures to defeat it.
Dr. Jai, you want to have the final word here?
Yes, I completely I'll ditto what Dr. Bangura just said. And I think, you know, with the education piece, which is really important with regards to Ebola, also comes with developing a strong, public health education aspect systems in some of these countries in that region in Africa. But even here in the U.S. also, you know, you see that measles, things like Ebola strikes a lot of fear in people, because, you know, even when we think that the healthcare system is very strong in the U.S., you see that cases of Ebola were not handled very well in some of the instances where you had the Liberian dying and some few cases where people got panicked. Because, in essence, things like Ebola, you don't have an Ebola doctor. Somebody is not trained to be an Ebola doctor, but you can get an oncologist. You can get somebody who is trained as a psychiatrist. But for Ebola, you don't get an Ebola doctor, and that's what brings a lot of fear, not just in Africa, but even here. So capacity has to be something that is built on a global scale and then at the local level. But also, when you think of the response in Africa, you know, it will not just be enough to go in right now and build centers, treatment centers, build hospitals, build all these structures, and then leave, you know, because that's usually the case. We go and build stuff, we do stuff, we make them, you put the structure, it is controlled, the cases are down, then everybody leaves. Then what happens? The capacity is not there to continue to maintain those structures, to continue to trigger that into the population. So this has to be a continual investment, a continuous process of engaging healthcare professionals there and healthcare professionals here. And then so there has to be a knowledge flow, knowledge transfer, and a continuous process of engaging those communities at the local level. But also we have to be able to tap into the indigenous knowledge in terms of the responses in some of these countries also, because part of what happened in a lot of communities and there was a lot of pushback is because there wasn't a proper way. The protocols that we normally develop, the biomedical protocols we have, is basically I go into this community and I isolate everybody. I do what I follow protocol-wise. But then you fail into take into consideration the cultural nuances in those communities and what knowledge base do they have about how to handle this type of diseases. So the education we have to think about is how do we develop systems and messaging that actually builds into whatever it is there in that local environment, and thereby we can be able to respond effectively whenever things happen in various communities.
Gentlemen, thank you both for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joseph Bangura is a professor of history at Kalamazoo College, director of Africana Studies, and the coordinator for this week's symposium. He joined us in studio. And Alhaji Jai joined us by phone from Madison, Wisconsin, where he's a research fellow in pathobiological sciences at the School of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Jai will give the keynote address for the symposium on Ebola. It's being held Friday and Saturday at Kalamazoo College. Links with more details can be found at WMUK.org.